So open up to Romans, second chapter, and then we can just go along as we get there. Hallelujah. I know on this part of the born-again trail, he's bringing different facets of it together to establish that place called done. More severely. All of those great scriptures that in the first visitation when I looked down the born-again trail, I remember the anointing was on me of such, it felt like the gift of faith. That I had God's faith, nothing was impossible. And any question I was asking just with my heart, he was answering instantly. And one of the questions was, in all those verses like, nothing shall be impossible to you, and the works I do, you'll do also and greater. And you can say to the mountain, you had faith as a grain of mustard seeds and sycamine tree. And I posed this question to him, and he knew what I was saying. Although those are our promises, the church doesn't reflect a lot of that. In fact, hardly any churches I know do. Says it seems as the journey from here to there is longer than most people's lives. And I said, can you show me? And he said to me, you'll find your answer on this trail. He's right. He's right. The most thing I knew about then is in the book. And then a lot more by the time the book was done, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. So I knew more about that than anything, and little did I know that I had reached out and grabbed hold of the right key, the one Jesus talked about when he says, he'll receive of mine and shew it unto you. So the key that I latched onto was the revelation key, which saved my life. So as the born-again trail began to unfold, because praying in tongues is a revelation gift, and in the position I have in the body of Christ, one thing it does on a regular basis is open mysteries up to me. Well, he would you too, but he'd also give you what's necessary for the qualification of your call. I mean, you wanted to define compassion. Compassion is something that everybody's supposed to have. But when you find your passion, that was Paul's. That's why, I mean, people were so nourished when he began to feed them from the Word of God, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. He had everything from history, from one of the best teachers that ever lived. He sat under the apostles and got the best of the future. This guy, when he went into a town and went to the synagogue, he had nourished the believers. But he had such a passion that he always caused persecution. Sometimes I think they were glad when he left town because they helped him leave. He had a passion. He lived for it. And passion is what will give your life. Life in the journey. Whew. Well, I latched on and as the born-again trail unfolded, I found out that when I needed private worship, he revealed the key and unlocked the principles and the power that was in that. And he unlocked the fasting key, which was not the most popular. But he unlocked the fasting key. And then when I maxed what I had taken in from the Word, then he unlocked the meditation and assimilation key. I already knew about just basic meditation, but meditation and assimilation. So he showed me how I worked, how my soul worked and my mind worked, and I was able to utilize what he showed me. So it was tremendous. Now he's taken these different facets of the born-again trail and the understandings, and he's bringing them together to establish that place that we've been calling done. Done. It's the place that God visited us with through the cross. And it's the position, the standing, the life. It's called the born-again trail. It's what he has given you. And what you need to find out is how finally he's given it to you. So you know, like anybody I thought that I knew about faith. And most of the time when I get something to work on purpose, it would be more accident than on purpose. But I did what would cause me to eventually believe it, and then God did it. So when I was trying to understand the key of confession, you know, I'm thinking to myself, since you already know my petition before I pray, how is me saying it 9,999 times going to make you do it? So you got to pressure God. You have to talk him into it. You got to pray with hard faith. It's not him you're changing. Quit yelling at him. And I can remember those verses. He said, don't be as the heathen. He said, you think you'll be heard for your much speaking? And I thought, boy, there isn't anything hardly more clear than confessing something 9,999 times like you're healing. Said, don't be like the heathen. They think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Well, they chant. You think the devil doesn't have a good copy? They chant to help emerge themselves and what they're getting into. But I remember just on blatant faith, just taking what somebody told me, and I'm going to use confession to get something, get myself healed. According to the mighty verses, and you can say to the mountain, and if you doubt not in your heart, you'll have what you say. You'll have whatsoever he saith. Of course, not too many read down onto the, if you got ought and stuff, you know, you get rid of it or it won't work. It just doesn't. So they leave that part off. Get you. So when I first begin to try to apprehend, to get something. Oh boy, I had a tilted vertebrae that tried to paralyze one leg. Before I'd go out to do the healing line, I'd have to sit down in a chair like this and push that thing real hard. It was nice to have a big twin-engine airplane, but problem was I couldn't hardly get out of it. So I was at the faith that got myself a twin-engine airplane. And then couldn't get out of it. My back. Does it hurt now? No. I've had a few bouts. I hated it burning right there in that, right there at that vertebrae, you know, right kind of where the pivotal point where your body hangs backwards and your head hangs forward or something. Maybe right where the point of weight bearing mathematics takes place, holding that head up. Anyway, anybody ever had that one just burn and hurt and get do stuff and you try to shift angles and all? Man, I put up with that several years. Guess what position hurt it the worst? In the name. In the name. Oh, it felt like they were made out of lead. Hurt. Just have to go lay down a while. Boy, it hurts so bad. It hurt really bad. It just something that just just makes you so uncomfortable. You're aware of it all the time. You don't want to do stuff. Just getting the weight off of it. It's the only thing it would help. Gee, it's gone now. The closer I get to that place that it's called done. And confession played its part also. But not understanding confession, it took it longer to work for me. And see, I thought I was talking God into it basically, but He's not the one that's got any problems, trust me. Well, when I begin confession, well, where do you hurt now? I don't. What are you working on now? These. Hallelujah. And it's changing. They're changing. Hallelujah. It seems to be going backwards. That thing, that glasses I couldn't read with before, I'm able to read with as it goes backwards now. You know how you throw the weaker ones away and get stronger and stronger, and now it's reversing. I don't care what word or terminology you use. How about now it's working? Thank you, Jesus. So here I am, walking and, you know, confessing. I turn around. It just seemed like the devil would be on the turnarounds. Think you'll be heard for you much speaking. I call myself healed. I call myself healed. No, you don't, devil. You can't have me. No, you don't have a right to keep that thing in my body. Boy, did I know that with this. See, the mystery of knowing it with this, you walk around wondering, why won't it go? We come up with real good names to cover all that. You're in mental ascension. So I walk back and forth again. I call myself healed. Think you'll be heard for you much speaking. Then he started in on me. What's the magical about 9,999? Does he move on thousands? Oh, wait, maybe there's a code in here. The devil would like you to get into anything that would keep you from receiving. Anything. Sometimes you'll think that it's something in the natural besides corresponding actions, like with what you're believing. You think it's something in the natural, a formula. How about a timing? Well, the timing's mostly when you can believe it. And it has everything to do with what you know about something, too. Sometimes in the timing, he's got you in school. It still doesn't mean he isn't going to give it to you just as quick as he can. Well, so I'd walk around that corner. Finally, I was taught a word that really worked good for him. Shut up. Well, it wasn't my much speaking, you know, that did it. It was what that much speaking did to me. See, and that's part of the meditation assimilation. It's how you're made. You can't offer your soul on the altar of any kind of information. Amazing thing to me is stand next to somebody that speaks Chinese and know that they have symbols for every sound they make, like we have an alphabet with symbols for every sound that we make. And they can just flow with that, and they understand what each other's saying, and to them, we sound like that. In Brazil, they told me, it sounds like all your words are running together, like it's one long word. I said, you ought to hear what Portuguese sounds like to me. Yet our mind can assess that just as fast as you throw a language at you. And only reason you wouldn't understand what I'm saying is if I didn't say it clear. Threw words in the wrong place, too undescriptive. But you have that ability, so you are created like that. When you learn how to put that to work for you on purpose. See, you can't walk the floor and call yourself something. And in particular, one of the major major redemptions, identification truths, like the curse of sin or curse of sickness and disease. I mean, those things have been removed, and now that he's bringing more together, I'm finding out just how final that judgment was. Now, when I walk and call myself something, I see that final place. And I don't have trouble calling other people healed. And on the phone, anywhere, just having trouble not believing it. And it's that place that's forming in me now. You can't walk and call yourself healed that eventually. You're the one that starts to affect. You're the one. Eventually, you start believing it. Well, how? Because it starts transforming you to what you're giving yourself to the most. And you happen to be giving yourself to a truth that says that you're healed. Well, you're not going to walk the floor and call yourself healed. As somewhere down the line, you're going to end up believing it. Well, when I got attacked with the infection that ran through my system about a year, I'm not sure what the devil was trying to do that time. Kill me, I think. And there's a woman I know that did cultures for doctors. And when she asked me what was it like, and I explained it to her and how that infection ran through me. She said, it's a possibility. Did you have your appendix? It hurt. I said, yes, I did. I don't even know whether I had, but I have them. I think they're over here where it hurt somewhere. She says, there's a possibility it burst. Did you get yourself checked out? I said, no. She said, well, what did you do? I said, I hurt and believed. And it was right on this platform that I got healed. Coming down the steps, he asked me a question on this step. And I said, yes, I will. It's something he had been dealing with me on anyway. He said, are you going to do this? And I said, yes, I'm going to do it. He knew that I meant it because it's all that he needed. It was the last thing. And right there, the pain left. I think by the end of the day, the growth, the knot, the bulge, whatever was sticking out there, was gone. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, this place called done is where a work that was done by heaven was so final that when scattered verses here and there in different subjects make a reference to it, what you're capable of. We look across that void and then we look at all the believers we've known all their life and say, this has got to be impossible. Well, it is. That's where God likes to begin. You were impossibly lost. He had it remedied, didn't he? You're on the outside. Now you're inside. Well, we look at everybody we know. We read those impossible verses. And the closest we see most of the time is people do come into a healing anointing to some degree. It's usually really selective. It never approaches the revivals they had in the book of Acts when the neighboring cities brought their sick and tormented. And it says, and they were healed, every one. Brother Roberson, they were trained by Jesus himself. Yes, and who came to walk with him after he was baptized into your death by John and pulled back up into the life you were going to walk in? So had to be empowered by the third person of the Godhead, who was the Holy Spirit, who taught him. He taught them, but who taught them what he said? It wasn't until they were finally born again that they started to catch on. I mean, I just love Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, he looks up and he says, let's build a tabernacle. I bet Jesus felt like just looking at him and saying, haven't you been listening? Law and the prophets was till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is being preached. Every man presseth into it. So I'm preaching principles that belong to the kingdom while fulfilling the old covenant. And he says, oh, Moses, Elijah. He says, let's build three tabernacles. They might as well have went on and built one for themselves. Seeing something like that. You know. So who's your teacher? Who's your teacher? Come on. Come on. I am not going to stand before him and be judged guilty for letting my lifetime in this town slip by me without affecting it with what Jesus said you could affect it with. I'm just not going to do it. The ride is pretty rough at times. And who can guarantee you that it'll get better? I didn't want to ask Paul. I don't mean ask him. I meant ask his teachings. It might get rougher. Who cares? You'll be really happy about this before 1,000 years is over. I mean, I just thought I'd speak in increments of really short periods. You'll be real happy about this 1,000 years from now. Real happy about what? That you got in and fought like a crazy woman and a crazy man. Got in there and fought like Jesus meant what he said, even if it's impossible. All things are possible to him that believeth. And he's not talking outside of the sphere of his word. He's talking about everything he promised you he would do and could do is possible to you who believe. So then, some of these impossible areas to understand on this journey. When he added the worship key, it was one that made it possible for the capacity of my new nature to begin to kick in and receive more and more of the love he always loved me with. And you. He's got no favorite kids. None. So the more that I could receive his love, then the more I could look over the fence at him and understand why he does things the way he does them, because it is his nature. So a lot of things that I'm finding out that people have said is not true. Well, I'm getting freer and freer in his grace because I'm starting to understand. I can look and discern things more and more because he's heightening the presence of his love in my nature. So I look over at his and understand his. How many loved when I absolutely in detail and wore you out with gospel duck? The duck that was raised as a chicken. How many's heard that story? Wore you out. Why? I had to get over to you the nature change and the role that it plays. It's the only thing the Holy Spirit has to work with. You say, well, don't he go around me and do it? No, what he does to release him to do it is to get you to believe. So what he does is he schools you. He gets you to believe, and you move the mountains. You think heaven is standing back, say, oh, I don't want to do it quite yet. Beg a while, do something, run. Holy Ghost, he's the one that gets you to believe it. And heaven is, they're delighted. I mean, you think that they're rejoicing over the shortage of power? Absolutely delighted when they find the substance they need to move to the salvation of the masses, power to unfold mysteries that are confounded. And harvest where there wasn't harvest. He's delighted when the Holy Ghost does such a work with somebody that he actually takes who Jesus made them and brings it forward. Once holding it up, it's certainly not that the Holy Ghost is lacking in power. And what is the problem? If I was you, I wouldn't take it any further. It's not God, and the Father is not God, the Holy Spirit, and it's certainly not the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Redeemer. Well, then who does that leave? So Gospel Duck, he took his place, and I'm bringing these pieces together because we're going to get to this. That the chicken raised as the duck, duck raised as the chicken. You can work it backwards. The principle. It was funner for chickens to raise a duck because he didn't know he could swim and he didn't know he could fly. So he snuck away to do those things. But the reason he knew he could do them because they was in his nature. Says, where are you going, son? Mom, I'm going south. I've heard there's a place called down there. And I'll see you in the spring. I love you, Mom. But I can't live as a chicken anymore. I hear you're setting there the nature that has a full capacity. I mean, it has a full capacity to understand, to receive, to reservoir, to pool the love of God. What a powerful teaching tool to look over at God, increase of the nature of love, and look at Him and understand more about His love than take a difficult verse and understand what He meant when he said it. Boy, you better keep praying in the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Just better keep praying. Why? Because you're activating the teacher in you. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You think he's speaking those tongues for his benefit? Nah, he's going to try to make a champion out of you. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. So we've got a place that we're heading for now. And it's that place called Dun. And I tell you, at times God's excited, but I'm not sure that you can describe his emotional process that way. When I was groping for the right word, all of a sudden it just jumped out at me. He takes great pleasure. And when he sees us getting close, like this is coming our direction, this and this, he takes great pleasure in the fact that we might, am going to, came within the range of possibility. Brings him great pleasure when he sees people possibly on the border or the edge of operating in some place in him that's very seldom touched. So, and when he gets like that, I can feel it. When I get out and catch something he said and give his agenda instead of mine. Sometimes I'm the only one that goes back really feeling his pleasure because I took my beating the day before. But I can really feel His pleasure when I'm pleasing Him. Really strong. Thank you, Jesus. So this one's coming together over here, and this revelation, this one, and they're merging for a finish. Within faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what the Word said about it. That my understanding that it's in that place that He's absolutely loosed with no restraint as faith and power genuinely comes under that judgment on Jesus that He describes, Paul did, as the end of the world. Once at the end of the world, He's so final on this thing. Well, if my sin was judged, so was your diseases. Once. 2,000 years ago. Once. And He called 2,000 years ago the end of the world. Do you understand that? Yes, I do. Have you been trying to get there? Yes, I have. But when all of these principles merge and put us on that rock, and everything that God funneled through the cross and gave to us that Jesus has paid for, then that's what we get to see turned loose. And that's where revival. I'm not talking about an outpouring. I am, but I'm not. I'm not talking about a move. A move. Where we had a season with God and touched something and got a whole lot of whatever He was in that area for a while. Until everybody drank of it and partook of it and it reached out, subsided and came back. A wave. I'm talking about a place. Not a move. A place. But I think that touching God's joy, the joy of the Lord's your strength. We've been through this several times. I've been trying to explain the difference between it and what we'd call peace. I've had peace for some time. All hell turn loose. And I won't turn loose of my peace. I don't like it. Hell turns loose. But I won't turn loose of the presence of knowing that it is done. How long it takes, what it takes, don't care. Just know it. So I'm going to maintain my peace about it, and that's that. But joy. See, it's different. And I'll try to explain it again because I almost broke down there. Because when I was looking at that place called done, I started getting His joy. Feeling His pleasure that He'll take somebody with her. Has never walked in their life, never heard, never saw. And get to be there when they regain consciousness. Or gain consciousness with all their senses. And 3 and 4 day people who've been dead. And a place called on. I'm talking about mapping out every children's hospital in the U.S. I'm talking about stirring up some trouble. You want to change a nation? Give it revival. You want to change a nation? Stir it up. Turn the bars into churches. Just change spirits. All right, once again, the joy I felt. Can't get away from it. Don't want to. If He delivers me to that, I'll just leave. Rather than stop talking about it, just can't you? No, I can't. I don't want it to leave. Peace maintains. Ooh. Remember having peace after a longer fast one time, came out of it and I said, this is a strange feeling not to be troubled about these things. Boy, this must be peace. Yeah, not as this world gives. What kind does this world give? Well, if the world has the resources, it'll be resolved. I don't even need that. I'm still trying to come up with like a duck or a chicken or something. A wolf. There's something to explain that kind of joy. And so I had to revert not to an animal nature kingdom kind of thing, but the most powerful thing on this planet outside of God, which is mammon. Well, if you want to be a little dictator, just buy it. Buy it. So, explaining that joy again. Somebody said, I'm going to give you $5 million. The big one is coming through. She is coming through, and I'm going to make this deposit. It's set up next month, and it's closing. Woo! Did you know I got excited the first 7 or 8 times? Different people came to me. I'd get excited, but after a while, I'd still have joy over the possibility of it. You know, oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. But this is how joy feels. Hey, somebody goes up and puts the cash in your hand. You go, ooh, you feel the power surge, depending on who you are and what. Oh, I could have that if I wanted that car. I could have that house if I wanted, just off payments on the interest. I could have that. You feel all the power of that being deposited. Well, here's how far that joy pulls ahead of peace. Not only do I have the peace, but now I have the joy, and I'm feeling the power as though it's already been deposited. So you just have to forgive me when I see that place called on and break down with joy at what He can do in place called on. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. I'm excited. Are you praying for me? Amen. Let's go over. 3rd chapter. And let's set up where we're going, at least. All right, as you know, 2 things was happening at Rome. One is the Jewish community was having trouble understanding why the swine-eating Gentiles that never kept a day of the law in their life was suddenly getting their inheritance. And the second was even the Gentiles who were converted, the Judaizers, would always say that they couldn't be perfected outside of the law. So there were certain things they would start naming that they'd have to keep, the Sabbath, and on and on and on. That once the list starts, it just never stops. And Paul, when he appealed to Caesar, or when he appealed to Rome, when his missionary journey and returning to Jerusalem, that they had him take a vow of purification and shave his head. Where James was said, look at all of these Jews that's been saved and they're zealous of the law. So please, could you do this to keep from causing trouble? Well, Paul didn't mind becoming all things to all men that he could win a few. But see, he had a way of not only nurturing, because sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, good land. That man was legendary in his knowledge of the law and scripture. So Paul had the very best of both worlds. So when he went into a synagogue, he'd prove why that indeed was the very Christ. But even more than that, he confronted Peter one time about eating with the Gentiles, which is wasn't just partaking or spending time with them. He was eating the food they were eating, which is not kosher until certain came down from Jerusalem. And when they did, he got caught up in a dissimulation. Another word for it would be a hypocrisy, that him and the other Jews withdrew or pulled themselves back. See, this is where Paul continually got himself into trouble. He brought such nurturing to the Jew by proving, with no doubt, from the past to the Gentile also. But he also, all the time, was causing persecution, just like the last time he went to Jerusalem, he had to be taken by force and put on a ship and to head for Rome. When he got to Rome, I mean, here, this great apostle, after all the trials was over, he gets this rented house. And everyone that comes, everyone. I mean, how many of you know anybody would receive every single person who came for 2 years and minister as much of the law and word and everything they needed every single time? The guy had something to him. But he caused as much persecution because he'd opened his mouth. He totally surrendered and he'd get in trouble again and again and again. So when there's Judaizers and there was Jews that was having trouble believing the Gentiles were saved after the great revivals came in with Peter. Antioch is having revival. So here he is, right? He wrote a masterpiece of separation of the two. And you'll find so much power in that book, don't even know how to deal with it hardly. So he's explaining in such detail that if you assimilate the book, I can guarantee you, your feet are going to start walking down the capacity that you have as a born-again believer. And then the 10th chapter, which is most quoted, it's where we're trying to get. The righteousness which was of law and the one now, it's a spirit. And so he's still defining the difference why these swine-eating Gentiles can be saved. But the length that he takes, say not in your heart, who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above? Say not in your heart, who will go into the deep, and that is, and raise him from the dead again. He's not going to go. He's not going to go and provide salvation for you again. He's not going to go and provide even a flake of dust proportion of healing for you again. At one time, it's been settled forever. You need to stop and find out how to receive what he's already done. Whew. How many, after you stop and think about it for a minute, feel edified? How many feels like there's hope for you? How many's got the kind of hope that's being charged with the substance of faith? Now the faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. It's all the evidence I need of that thing I cannot see. You need anything else? Nothing.